I wanted to just make mention tonight of I want to name drop a little bit in a good way. I have to, whenever I'm at camp, mention Reverend Gordon Gardner, because I'm indebted to him and Sister Caroline so much. And I was thinking today, as we're thinking of 75 years of Pilgrim Camp, I've been saying it at home, it's amazing that a camp could run 75 years with volunteers. Because volunteers aren't the greatest people on earth. That's not nice, right? But you know what I mean. We have a businessman in the chapel, and when he heard that camp was run for 75 years on volunteers, he said, "That's amazing that people would come and do that." And it is. I thought about 75 years, and that I came here in 1972 as a camper is when I began. It's like over 40 years of being privileged to come to camp. And I remember as a pot boy working in the kitchen that the Lord spoke to me and said that this camp has something for me. And it had a lot more than, it was a lot more than pots. But I knew that as a young, I think I was 17, as Keith, this camp as an integral part of your life. And so I guess, folks, you're looking at the next director. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I had to throw that in. But, you know, I never, and there was no concept of a winter program when I was 17 years old. And I came back every year. And where I'm going with this is I thank God for the gardeners who got a vision, made sacrifices. I was talking with Tom. They really, you know, to come up here with some raw material and believe God to fill us with the Holy Spirit in that winter program. They never said, "Oh, well, you're training for the ministry." That was not said. The idea was not to train for anything but to learn, come to know Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just thank God for them. And the one thing I said the night in that room back there when I knew it was my last time there, 4 years, I was heading off to be married. It was an emotional time. I was leaving and I was getting married. But I said, you know, Brother Gardner, he was in that corner, of the very corner of that room is where he sat and we gathered around. I said, there's only one way I can thank you. And that is to let Jesus live out his life in me. Because that was their prayer and their goal. And so I wanted to offer up thanks. I also thank God for the Schulteises who had enough faith for a young guy and took him on as an apprentice. So I tell people I had 4 years of Sister Caroline trying to get me to be serious. But I had 7 years of Sister Grace saying, "You're so funny." So 7 years won. And but you know, let me ask you guys. I hope you have a saint in your life. I hope you have a saint in your life. Somebody who believes in you. Just forget about your faults. That they believe in you and they see Christ in you, even though you're imperfect and sometimes stupid. But just believe in you. And pray for you and get after you. I hope you have that, and I trust that you do. I'm not going to talk long tonight. I just want to bring out something about the power of the Word of God that always amazes me. The first one is from Titus 2. Paul had a job for Titus. He sent Titus to the little island of Crete, which is just off of Greece. That island was pretty wicked, but there was a series of churches there. But what had happened when you read when you read the Epistle of Titus, the churches had gotten corrupt. There were corrupt leaders. But Paul sends Titus there, and he has a mission. And what is that mission? Of course, it is to replace the corrupt leaders with good leaders. But what a job. But he sent them there, and he instructs them that it's by grace. Go to that island and have grace. Now, we all love and need grace. I hope that you appreciate grace, because you'll never experience Christ unless, you recognize it's his grace that has allowed us to enter into his presence. And Paul sends them there, which is amazing. And this is the verse here from Titus 2, 11 and 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to what? To all men. It's the grace of God that has appeared to all men. But there's something about this grace that I think the church doesn't always remember. The grace is going to teach us. And Paul says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's so important, isn't it? My mother could always tell which friends I was hanging out with. You know? You were with Frank, she would say. You were with Frank today. No, I wasn't. Yeah, you sound just like him. All right, then you were with Scott. And then she'd play the whole name game until she got the right person. People ought to know that we're with Jesus. Right? It ought to rub off on us. And so I was thinking, how did Titus go to that island and tell them about grace and teach them about denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that they should live soberly and righteously and godly? And then I remembered that Paul said that Titus was a partner of his, and he said that to the Corinthians. And then it brought me to our next verse from Corinthians 10. Where he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what are they? You know it, right? They're mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, we use this sometimes for ourselves. Paul was talking about how he established a church in that wicked city, wicked place of Corinth. He went in there with the word of God, and he pulled down strongholds. He cast down arguments. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. And when you read about how Corinth was and how wicked it was, it's pretty powerful, the word of God, isn't it? To win souls. And then I just want to turn it on us. Because one of the reasons I was taught to raise our hands in church, you know, was to show the enemy that I've been set free. Now, you don't always feel set free. You know, I think if we're all honest, every one of us have a part in us, or maybe a large part in us, that God, and as you put so well, that needs to be set free. But we're also called to fight the good fight of faith, and that is by faith. And so I love that when I was taught to raise my hands and say, Lord, your work is complete, now complete it in me. I'm free. I'm free in Jesus Christ, because the word is mighty and is able to pull down strongholds. I'm not going to give the full thing tonight, because I just feel the Lord here in such a mighty way. And you know, He does the work. But I did have in my heart, Lord, no one in this room should ever be bound by anything of the enemy. I don't care what it's like out there in the world. I don't care how much trash and dirt and pollution we're surrounded in. Paul walked into Corinth and said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And some of us have temper problems. Some of us have lust problems. Some of us have, other kind of bondages. And I just say, doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. Because the word is strong. And the movement of the Holy Spirit is strong. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We just sang Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the power of God. And though I say, well, then what's the story, Lord? Why do we live with a limping Christian life? And it has a lot to do with pride, don't it? And it has a lot to do with I'm doing okay. And I just wonder tonight if the Lord wouldn't just break a bondage. Now that makes everybody uncomfortable. But what if, you know, what if God wanted to just break the fetter tonight? Now I don't know what it is. Maybe this is just for one person. I had something totally else in mind. But the Lord is here in such a mighty way, and He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the crooked places straight. And I believe He has healed Sister Lisa. But He also not only breaks the bond of an illness or an infirmity, but He also comes to release us, to set us free, to be more like Himself. And I don't know everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do, but I know that he wants to break a fetter tonight. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's an internet habit. Maybe it's an angst in your heart. But we don't need to live with this stuff, do we? Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray that right now you'll move by your Spirit. Because you came to set us free. You came to, Lord, to liberate us. And we just pray that you'll do that work by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we have to ask you this, Holy Spirit. We have to ask you. Because our old man is a lot like our parents. We like to hide. We like to hide in the garden behind the trees. But we're not tonight. We pray, God, that you'll take us as we are and make us what we ought to be, body, soul, and spirit, no matter what the cost. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Just have your way in these moments, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, dear.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels faithful, ring forth the royal.
indeed.
Yes.
Amen. For the Son set you free.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, you're free. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Free to serve Him, free to love Him.
Yes.
Oh, the yes, bondage is broken.
Amen.
You can go forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. I like what Brother Keith said the other night, quoting somebody, come with your bondage.
If you're bound, come. Don't let your bondage hold you back from coming to the Lord.
Right.
Come with your bondage. He's the bondage breaker,
right.
The chain breaker. Oh, thank God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, the Lord's been so specific, and so is His word has been so pointed in these days. It's just these few days that we've been together. He's talking right into our need, and He's making us to know that He knows what you're going through. He knows you inside and out. And He's brought you here to help you because He loves you.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
And He has help for you. And so we all ought to be encouraged. And we ought to claim His working, the power of His word in our lives. As we take the truth of His word into our hearts, that power of the word does God's work in us.
Amen.
Praise God. When Brother Keith said, not one of us have to be bound by anything in the world, anything of the devil. The first thing is to believe that.
Yes, that's right.
Jesus did a perfect work.
Yes,
he didn't save you so that you can still be bound by sin and trapped by the enemy. But he has a perfect work in mind. When you read Romans chapter 6, it talks about that. That we don't have to serve sin. And, you know, sometimes we struggle with that because we find ourselves bound by certain habits and so on. And here the Bible says we don't have to serve sin. But the first step in deliverance is believing what God says.
Yes.
Lord, I don't have to be this way.
Right.
I am this way. I see. I'm struggling. I can't free myself. But Your word says, I do not have to be the servant of sin any longer. I have been washed in the blood. I have the Holy Spirit living inside me. And I have the grace of God at my disposal. I can reach out and believe Jesus to deliver me fully and to establish me in His grace.
Yes.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Believe that tonight?
Yes.
Do you believe that tonight? Really? Ask the Lord to help you to believe it. Lord, I don't have to stay this way. And I'm not going to stay this way. Lord, you're the deliverer, and I'm going to believe you to set me free.
Yes.
I believe that while I'm at camp, you're going to set me free.
Amen.
And that work's going to continue when I go back home.
Yes.
And you're going to set me free more and more and more.
Yes,
praise
Lord.
God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we want to thank you for the way you've been speaking to us so clearly, so pointedly, so lovingly, Lord. Oh, you're encouraging us, Jesus. Lord, where we've been discouraged, where we've looked at ourselves, you're getting our eyes off of ourselves, and you're fixing our eyes on Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Lord, we open our hearts to your working. We stand upon your word. We thank you for your victory. And Lord, we believe to see your glory in each of our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll bless Brother Keith. We thank you for his ministry to us. Thank you for the time that he could be up here and how he's given himself to share with us the things that God has put upon his heart. And Lord, we believe that you will bring forth fruit as a result of this ministry in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you will anoint him with fresh oil as he has poured out. We pray now that you will pour in. And Lord, that you will send great refreshing into his soul and larger and richer anointing that he might do the work that you've called him to do. We pray that you'll bless him as he goes home tomorrow. Give him traveling mercies. Let the sense of your presence be very keenly felt all the way home. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless his daughter Catherine, who's getting married. We pray in her fiancé, the families involved. Lord, we pray that you'll have your way, that your presence will be at that wedding, and that you'll perform a miracle in their hearts, Jesus. Lord, Jesus, you know what you want to do for them. You know what your plan is for them. And we believe that as they have faith over them, as they're united in your name, we pray that that you will accomplish something of real miraculous value in their lives. Set them on your path and lead them into the center of your will. And so bless the family, we pray, Lord. And again, we want to thank you for the days that we've had together here, the fellowship. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's no sense in just continuing the meeting when the Lord says it's over. Maybe the Lord would like us to spend some time in prayer, waiting upon God. I think that would do us all good. How about every one of us just take a moment to wait on God? And you'll see, God will come to you. God will speak to you. God will work in you. And he'll show you when to leave. Praise God. But you know, God has begun something in us in this meeting. And you ought not to leave until you're satisfied that at least what God had in mind, you sense he's accomplished something. He's put his seal on it. Oh, he'll continue working in us tomorrow and throughout the night. There's much more to do. But every day God has something in mind that he wants to accomplish. And so we can take it in bite-sized portions, right? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. As Brother Keith said, I just sense that the Lord is so near to us. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we sing a song in Canarsie. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. But this is the part I like. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. Has Jesus called out your name today, tonight? I think he has. When you feel that the word of God is speaking right into your need, it's the things that you've been concerned about. God is talking about that. That's him calling you by name. He's so personal, so intimately is he dealing with us. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You'll never be the same. Oh, he knows your name. He knows your name. He knows your need. Oh, and he knows that he's the answer. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. Moment by moment I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment I've life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Oh, praise God. Let's sing it one more time. Let's go to prayer. We'll end the meeting that way or change the order of the meeting. Oh, hallelujah. Moment by moment I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment I've life from above. Looking to Jesus to glory that shine.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you're doing. I love you so much.